This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
America's experiences during the Civil Rights Movement and the space race are well documented. However, few know about the moment these two worlds collided, when the White House and NASA scrambled to put the first black astronaut into orbit. The new Smithsonian documentary, Black in Space, Breaking the Color Barrier, is the untold story of the decades-long battle between the U.S. and the Soviet Union to be the first superpower to bring diversity to the skies, told by the black astronauts and their families who were part of this little-known chapter of the Cold War. Black in Space, Breaking the Color Barrier, directed by Emmy Award-winning filmmaker Lorenz Grant, who has received international acclaim for her documentaries that explore African-American themes. She's our guest next on This Week in America.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Smithsonian Channel explores the untold story of the journey toward racial equality in space with their new documentary, Black in Space, Breaking the Color Barrier. During the Cold War space race, the U.S. not only had to defeat the Soviet Union in a competition over rocketry and technological feats, it also needed to overcome its own racial prejudice, which became a crucial vulnerability in the effort to win hearts and minds around the globe. Black in Space, Breaking the Color Barrier, directed by Lorenz Grant, a three-time Emmy and Peabody Award-winning filmmaker. She's received worldwide acclaim for her documentaries that explore the African-American themes, Stay Woke, the Black Lives Matter movement, the Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, Jesse Owens, the first full-length documentary on the African-American sports icon, Slavery and the Making of America, Seeds of Destruction, and many others. And before starting her distinguished documentary career, Lorenz was an award-winning foreign correspondent in Latin America. And now, director of the documentary Black in Space, Breaking the Color Barrier on Smithsonian Channel, also available for streaming on Smithsonian Channel Plus, Lorenz Grant, joining us on This Week in America. Lorenz, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be on the program.
This is such an exciting documentary, an eye-opening documentary. Now, in the beginning, you talk about this time in history. You talk about the Cold War, space race, and the civil rights. We've talked about all three of these, but rarely together. This really is a unique look at history, isn't it?
Thank you. Yes, I found that to me was the rich texture and element, maybe to add. I mean, I knew it was going to be a lot of competition out there, of course, in the celebrating our 50th anniversary of the moon landing. So, you know, kind of what can I bring to the conversation? What could I bring to the table? And knowing that all those three elements were happening and talking to scholars, they too were saying, yeah, this is kind of fresh history that sort of put it all together like that. I thought, well, there can really be the hook, you know, of including yes. the civil rights movement, space race, and Cold War all in one film.
And there was a time when all three of these worlds collided. Let's talk about the role of JFK. He received a lot of pressure for inclusion in the space program, didn't he?
Yes. You know, I wasn't aware that, you know, from the beginning, the black press, if you will, was a champion. You know, there were James Hicks, the noted editorial columnist and journalist. He was writing editorials, you know, up and down, like, when are African Americans going to be able to participate in the space race? You know, everybody was excited about that. You know, it was the new frontier. And so I thought it was a nice thing to include the story of the first, you know, because this yes. was the first in everything. And then even African Americans, they wanted to be a part of it too from the beginning. So I thought that was cool to include also.
Interesting. JFK orders the Pentagon to find a black astronaut. They have one immensely capable, sort of a tragic story. What happened to him during this process? Talk about Captain Edward Dwight Jr. We thought this was going to be the first black astronaut to actually go into space.
Yes, and I found, you know, we got the memos, and I thought all the back-channeling discussion, you know, it's mentioned in books, and I thought, wow, if we could find the memos, I could just really bring it to light, and it does. And so I go into the back-channeling discussion of, like, you've got to find a candidate. Is there someone qualified? And it's kind of a nod to, there's always the quote-unquote, oh, we can't find, you know, somebody qualified enough. Well, there was one, and Ed Dwight was literally, you know, the kind of the perfect candidate. I mean, he yes. was almost like out of central casting. You know, he had the well-established military career, you know, thousands of flying hours, aeronautics degree. And then when he lands, you know, into this program, he's plucked into it. You know, he comes up against his idol, mentor, and you could even say foe in Chuck Yeager. And so I thought it was really fascinating to kind of delve into that story. It's talked about a lot in books, but how to put it together, and in some documentaries also, but I wanted to get at the added texture of the relationship. You know, what was going on there? You know, it wasn't just so simple as, you know, black and white. For some people it was. For some people it was more complicated, but I really wanted to include the nuance because that is kind of American history. You know, when you're trying to become the first, you're going to have so many obstacles and challenges, and how Ed Dwight managed to continue and plow through. But it was up to NASA. And when NASA makes their final selection, you know, Ed Dwight is not among the candidates, and he was right there. So kind of that sort of sets the stage. And to include, you know, before we get our first African-American astronaut 20 years later, you know, we wanted to sort of include that timeline because it did take that long. You know, it wasn't yes. 1, 2, 3 and the program and we're up. And it also wasn't that people weren't interested in participating until way later to the 80s. I mean, there have been people who've been wanting to be there. And I also include the astronaut who we probably could have actually gone to the moon right after Ed Dwight, but then was tragically killed in a training accident. So I wanted to show how that road to the stars was quite fraught.
We've got just a minute or so left in the program. You do an excellent way in the presentation of taking us inside what was happening, the personal stories. You talked to the first black astronauts and their families in about the 30 seconds I've got left. It's interesting, the civil rights movement's reactions to the space race. They were resentful. All of this money was spent going to the moon when people were living in poverty back here in the United States.
Yes, it was a tumultuous time. It was yes. a time for celebration, but it was also a time for reckoning. And I wanted to include all of those elements that this was happening literally at the same time. You know, man's conquest of the stars, of landing on the moon, but then the in poverty back in America and the fraught journey of African Americans trying to get to space as well. And I wanted to include the geopolitical backdrop. And I even went to Cuba and found that candidate from Cuba, that astronaut. So to me, it was really exciting to, you know, put all this drama, tumult, excitement, danger, all in one film and have all the eyewitnesses that were there at the time participate in it.
With us on the program, Lorenz Grant. She's the director of Black in Space, Breaking the Color Barrier on Smithsonian Channel, also available for streaming on Smithsonian Channel Plus. Lorenz, great to have you with us on the program. Excellent job in the documentary. We will be watching. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program.
Awesome to be with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America. You'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us.
Make sure you like This Week in America on Facebook, and also you can follow This Week in America on Twitter at TWIA Radio.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. It's a true crime series that has had real-world impact on the cases profiled. The Starz groundbreaking documentary series Wrong Man, from Oscar-nominated and Emmy Award-winning filmmaker Joe Berlinger, back for season two. Wrong Man examines the cases of three different inmates who are serving life sentences on murder convictions, but claim their innocence. Season one had a tangible impact on all three cases that were examined, including a death sentence overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. Lead investigator is renowned civil rights attorney Ron Kuby. In his first Wrong Man case in 2000, he won the exoneration of two men who had been wrongfully convicted of murder and had each spent 13 years behind bars. Now, since then, he's helped to exonerate numerous others who were innocent of the crimes for which they were convicted, along the way often exposing police corruption and prosecutorial misconduct. Former radio TV host, commentator, seen in the cult classic movie The Big Lebowski, Wrong Man, back for season two on Starz, Sundays 9 Eastern Pacific. Lead investigator Ron Kuby with us on This Week in America. Ron, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much, Rick.
You know, this is more than a television program, isn't it? I mentioned season one, the success. You're really having an impact in the criminal justice system.
It's the most rewarding thing about doing this kind of work through film, that I'm able to use, you know, the skills I have as an attorney. I get access to resources that most of my clients don't have.
Yes.
Because let's face it, if you have money, like a television network, you can afford stuff. So I have experts and investigators. I've got a fantastic team with a Detroit homicide detective, a cold case squad guy from the NCIS, a former state's attorney, and we're actually able to thoroughly reinvestigate cases, sometimes from a very, very long time ago. And we look to them to see what happened here, what went wrong, what went right, what could have been done, what should have been done, and what can be done now. Because frequently we now have access to technologies and forensic processes that simply didn't exist when some of these folks were convicted. And as a result of our work last year in season one, one person we profiled, we gathered enough evidence that he's gone back into court on a motion for a new trial, and I'm confident he's going to get it and is going to be exonerated. One of the people that we were focusing on was actually exonerated in the middle of the series, while we were still putting it together to argue for his exoneration. He got exonerated, but we helped cast a lot of light on the fact the real killer was still out there, and subsequently they got the real killer. And the third case, although we had nothing to do with him, his death penalty being overturned, we did gather a lot of information in case they decide to retry him down there in Winona, Mississippi, for a seventh time. So based on that success, we got signed up for season two, where we're also looking at three homicides. The decedents are all women in two cases. They're actually a pregnant woman, and in another case, a woman and her very young child. Two of the defendants are women, and one of the defendants is a man. And we go through those cases using all the resources that are now available.
We're talking about Wrong Man, Season 2, Sundays 9 Eastern Pacific on Starz, the original true crime series that's having a real-world impact. You know, people have a tendency maybe to look at that and think of these cases as outliers, the system gone wrong. Is that the case, or is this more prevalent than we imagine?
Well, you know, in some ways it's both. There's not a high percentage of people in prison who were wrongfully convicted. But when you engage in mass incarceration, when you are literally putting millions and millions of people in prison. Even a small percentage can yield a very, very high number. So there are many people in prison that are actually factually innocent of what they are accused of doing, what they were convicted of doing. And that's a byproduct of the process of incarcerating millions and millions of people. Happily, society is taking a different turn now. We're looking to de-incarcerate. And we're having another look at some of the cases about which we were so certain when they happened and are increasingly coming to realize there is doubt there. I mean, let's face it, when you're dealing with murders, invariably the community in which they take place, they are upset. That community is outraged. There's a lot of pressure on local law enforcement to solve the case and make people feel safe, even if you're not actually making people safer because you're the wrong person. And under those circumstances, you know, it's very, very easy to make mistakes. It's not when people exercise their best judgment.
You know, you said something once in an interview that still resonates. You said you would think the most important goal would be accuracy. Let's get this right. And we think criminal justice system, that's the key. We need to get this right. And you said, no, it's not. It's finality. It's important to say justice has been done. And I think you were just addressing that. There is sort of maybe what a rush to judgment sometime because we want to wrap this case up.
Right, and there is very much a feeling in the judiciary in terms of the principles the criminal justice system is actually built on that, you know, eventually it's time to say enough, period, no more relooks, no more second chances, no more reexamination. Everybody just has to move on, and if we get the wrong person, that's just the price that we have to pay. But without a doubt, the people who say this is the price we have to pay, they are never, ever, ever, ever the people actually paying the price. The people who are actually paying the price are almost without exception poor and disproportionately black and brown.
About a minute or so left in the program. There are some areas that have like conviction review units to handle these cases. Do you see that happening more and more where there's maybe sort of at least an open mind to consider the evidence you're going to present?
Again, like all good lawyers, the answer is both yes and no.
Yes.
The yes part of it is when people are sincere about conviction integrity units or conviction review units, they properly staff them. They work transparently and collaboratively. They follow best practices and principles. Those units tend to work quite well. We see them in Brooklyn. We see one that's emerged in Philadelphia, certainly in Dallas, Texas, which is the pioneer. But other prosecutors decide to create conviction review units as the latest fashion. So they look progressive, they look interested in reexamining cases, but those units really function as conviction re-justification units. And we've seen a lot of that as well. Ultimately, as good as the prosecutors want to be, they are prosecutors at the end of the day, and it's important to involve defense attorneys and the courts in the system.
Well, and you've talked about the real investment in the guilt of the individual they've sentenced to prison or death. And when you think about it, if they're wrong, it reflects on them. At least they think that reflects on them. This is a fascinating series. Season 2 of Wrong Man will examine 3 new cases of potential wrongful conviction. With us, the lead investigator, Ron Kuby, renowned civil rights attorney. It airs on Starz, their original true crime series, Wrong Man, Sundays, 9 Eastern Pacific. Ron, excellent work with the series. We'll be watching Season 2. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much, Rick.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America. You'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Everybody wants cheap airfare. But where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too.
Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's been called a blend of feisty and fair. You've never seen courtroom drama quite like this, different from any other court show. Lauren Lake's Paternity Court acts only on family issues. These emotional cases can have life-changing consequences for participants, sometimes new beginnings for individuals. Lauren Lake's Paternity Court is an Emmy Award-winning, nationally syndicated daily courtroom show. Judge Lake, multifaceted television personality, originally from Detroit, a graduate of the University of Michigan, earning her law degree at Wayne State University. Fascinating background, a former professional singer, sang backup for P. Diddy, Jay-Z, Mary J. Blige, Dr. Dre, and Snoop Dogg. Highly sought after speaker and lecturer, best-selling author, her 2009 book, Girl, Let Me Tell You, and an interior design expert. Host of HGTV Spice Up My Kitchen for 6 seasons, the HGTV Showdown Champion for 2 consecutive years, a go-to media resource for legal and relationship issues, and dedicated to empowering women. Judge Lake is the creator of Limitless Live and co-founder of the Women in Entertainment Empowerment Network. Judge Lauren Lake, presiding judge and executive producer of Lauren Lake's Paternity Court, now in its 7th season. Check local listings for station and time. And she's our guest on This Week in America. Judge, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
I am so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure. Back in changing lives again for a 7th season and syndicated TV world littered with failure, especially in the judge category. Many names have come and gone. This is your 7th season. Why do you think this program resonates so well with the audience?
I think because of the human component.
Yes.
I think there's no small claims in paternity court. We're not talking about who went to the beauty shop and their hair didn't come out right, right?
Yes.
You know, we're talking about people who are experiencing extreme life challenges because they believe the pieces of their puzzle just aren't together. And I think whether you've ever had a paternity issue in your life or not, or known anyone who's had one, we can all relate to feeling like there are pieces to our puzzle that are missing. And we need answers. And so what we do is we try to get people the answers they need to move forward.
You know, what's interesting is there isn't the single aha moment. You've got the, of course, the DNA test, but you go way beyond that, don't you? You answer the big question now, what are we going to do next?
That's exactly right. We always say the first aha moment in our courtroom is, are you or are you not the father? But that really isn't the biggest one. The biggest one is that now that you know the truth, what are you going to do with it? Have you healed enough? Do you have the tools? Are you mentally and emotionally determined and committed to using this truth to move forward in a better way in your life? And more importantly, how those steps, how that commitment is going to affect the child that has been here waiting to know for certain who their father is. So yes, we've got big stakes in our courtroom, and we try to help people basically step up to the plate and take a swing at life.
You know, what's interesting is, and you've talked a lot about your staff, and they really do care about the families. This isn't like a TV show in the sense these people come in, they appear in the TV show, cameras, lights go out, all of a sudden they're back in real life. You actually help them. Talk about the resources you make available, the follow-up to help these people implement some of the decisions they've made with you during the course of the program.
Absolutely. We've given parenting classes. We've given drug, alcohol, counseling, and we've even had one of our plaintiffs, or actually one of our defendants, we've helped him get himself checked into a house of sobriety to help with his drug and alcohol addiction. We GED classes to help people get their degree. It goes on and on. You know, our desire on paternity court is to not leave people where we found them. Our desire is to help them grow. And so whatever that takes, you know, sometimes we're in the middle of testimony and I'll say out loud, listen, we're going to get you some help for that. And my team is behind the scenes already working so that by the time I give the verdict, you know, and people get into my chambers, they're like, listen, we found a GED class for her in her home state so that she can finish her schooling. And it's just a powerful community of people who are trying to help others win. And I'm so blessed to be a part of it.
With us on This Week in America, Judge Lauren Lake. Lauren Lake's Paternity Court, back for season 7, Emmy Award-winning program. Check your local listings for station and time. Paternitycourt.tv is the website. What impact do you think this show has had on everyone involved, including yourself, since September of 2013?
I think it's changed us. I think helping to heal people, you heal yourself. That's the beauty of it. When you help people walk through relationships and navigate them, you learn how to navigate relationships better yourself. When you watch people forgive and heal and decide to let the past be the past and focus on future, you learn how to do that better for yourself. And I think it's not just about the community of people that work there, but it's also about our viewers. We're all going on this journey together. And it's been an exciting time. It's so exciting that we're even going to be launching the Lauren Lake Show, where we're going to be able to have me take that robe off and continue these conversations outside of the courtroom so we can help more people solve more issues that are weighing them down.
What's it been like reuniting? I think the last count was like over 800 families. These are 800 families. Maybe you would have some children, fatherless, motherless children, that type of thing, and you brought these families together. What's that like? Not only from the TV standpoint, it's nice to win an Emmy Award, but you're winning hearts of families, aren't you, as well?
That's exactly right. And the true reward is knowing, and I say this to my team often, the true reward is knowing that 15 years from now, 8 years from now, 17 years from now, there's going to be a father sitting at their child's high school graduation, or there's going to be a father at that ballet recital or that baseball, championship game.
Yes.
Because of the work we've done, because we've done the work to help put families back together. And there is no reward for that. There is no award for that. The only reward is the feeling and knowing that your life has had the most incredible purpose. And that's all we really focus on. Excited about it.
Excited about that show. Hopefully we can have you back to talk about that. I love your passion. Season 7, Emmy Award-winning, nationally syndicated daily courtroom show, Lauren Lake's Paternity Court. Judge, thank you for being with us on the program.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.